Morning. It's kind of hot again. Might want to turn me down. I don't know. Don't really matter to me. All righty. Well, how is everybody? I had shorts, a t-shirt, and a pullover on coming from Mississippi. Got off in Milwaukee and walked to get the rental car, and I was like, it is nipply. It was a little chilly. But it's still in the 70s during the day. We did get down to 30s a couple of times, but they didn't last a couple of hours. So the church is growing. Have a new addition, the Cocles there. And, you know, I kind of just feel like a prophetic word of increase, even about three more babies coming over you. No, I'm just joking. He popped up. I'm just joking. I'm just playing. Man, it's good. It's good to be back here. It's good to see everybody. It's good to see everybody. It is. Everybody looks good. You know, I guess I could get just real quick. I'm just gonna, you know, I want to say thank you. Y'all have me back. You know, this is the third or fourth time since I've left. Y'all always take care of us when we're here. But I think so many times it's more than just a speaking engagement. You know, it's more than just me coming to preach or whatever, however people view it. I've been to several different churches. I was a part of several different churches. I think this was my fifth or sixth that I was a part of. Three or four of them I was on staff. And this is the only church that I have been back to more than once since we left. And I mean, it says a lot of relationship. I mean, it really does. I feel you guys' prayers. You know, every time I come, you're always welcoming. And you know, so I just want to say thank you. And it does mean a lot to me. I love coming here and sharing the word. I'm going to try to tie all this together. If there's anybody here that doesn't know me, my name's Preston Rushing. We were here now, I guess it's been like a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. We were here for a couple of years, and the Lord called us back to Mississippi to do a work there, and that's what he's doing. So I'm back to speak. But I want to share real quick kind of what the Lord's doing in Mississippi with us. We're building our house. We're almost there. We're painting it. I'm going to be so glad to be done with it because it's like nights and weekends when I really work on it the most. Because I have my other business, which is construction. And what the Lord is doing is we've hooked up with the church. And that's not went the exactly the way that I thought it was going to go. Just different things are happening or whatever. All of it's good, but the main ministry that we have is the people that come to work for me. Most of them are drug addicts. Most of them have a past like that. And the Lord puts them, they'll just come out of nowhere. They'll just call me. I got your number from so-and-so, you know, I heard you'll give me a chance or whatever. So we hire them. And then, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out too great. Sometimes it works out great. But the ministry is there, and so we're growing young men right now. We're growing them into men of God, but we don't just want to do it financially. You know, I don't want to just do it financially. I try to get all of them to the point to where they can have their own business one day, which is kind of opposite of what the world would tell you to do. It would tell you to get a good employee, keep them. You know, give them a little bit of money, but always try to keep them or whatever. I try to actually grow them to where they'll have their own business, to where they can support their own family and they don't need me and stuff like that. Like, I actually try to build them as a man. But just to kind of give you a testimony of what's happening, one of the guys named Dominic, I spoke about him that one time that I came. He's doing great. I mean, he really is. He's taking leaps and bounds for the Lord. He's taking leaps and bounds in the business. He's one of my main guys. And today, probably actually right now, No, maybe in, they probably just started worship. So maybe in about 20 minutes, he led a little girl that he helps out with to Jesus. And she wants to get baptized. So he's actually going to baptize her in probably about 20 minutes. And I mean, that's wonderful. I mean, it really is. And that's the things that we do. There's one guy, he works with me. He's been with me for about 7 or 8 months now. Man, they've had some rough times. They're a rough family. They come from a rough area. They've made some really bad choices in their life. But man, they're finding the Lord. And the girl used to go to the same church that I went to when I was younger. She knew me. She's a little younger than me, so I really didn't know her. And her grandma died, and she like fell back from the Lord, and she's coming back and all that. And we've had long conversations about, you know, and I was talking to Bruce a little bit with it last night about, you know, why didn't God heal my grandma? And you know, I asked her if she was a believer. She said yes. I said, well, you have to have an eternal mindset. You know, so many times we look at the earthly thing, but the grandmother's healed. And she's like, I never thought about that, da da da. And so anyway, she's coming back, but her husband is the one that he works for me. He's a really, really cool story, because I've had dreams about him. I've had how he's facing like demonic things, and I remember, and it's so awesome how the Lord works. I used to be very pushy about the gospel. I used to be very pushy about Jesus. I would go to an unbeliever, I would see someone who didn't know the Lord, and man, I would push Jesus on them. I would literally like just try to push them on them. And like if they were smoking a cigarette, the way I witnessed when I was like 17, 18, I would go up to them like, man, you are dying and going to hell. Like I'm dead serious. Like not even know the person, don't have any kind of relationship with them. And they'd be sitting there smoking a cigarette, and I'd go over to them like, are you a Christian? Yes. No, you're not. You're dying and going to hell because you're smoking a cigarette. Oh, I mean, that's exactly how my witnessing was. It was not very effective at all. You know, I guess I planted some kind of seed, but, you know, I don't know. But now, like, now that I've grown up and I've matured and the Lord has allowed me to see different things and spend time with different men and women of God and understand him more and allow him to influence my life more and be led by the Holy Spirit. That's the main thing, is to be led by. You can have many things. You can have many teachings. You can have many ways of doing it and all that. But listen to me. You can be taught in how to witness, but if you do not have the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit behind it, it's going to fall to the ground. I promise you that, because Jesus was the ultimate person to witness. We witness about Jesus. So Jesus was witnessing about himself from the Father. So he knew himself better than anybody knew him. Does that make sense? Like he woke up in the morning, he's like, thank you, Jesus. All right, y'all got to like get with me here. All right, anyways, that was a joke. It wasn't a very good one. In the South, that's funny. but he only did and only said what he saw the Father doing and saying. He went to be alone with the Father. And it talks about it many times in the Word that he got away from people. He got away from, man, how many people, how many ministers, when people need healing and they're coming to them, they're like, man, I'm going to touch you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to heal you. And people are getting healed. We'd be like, man, you're crazy to leave those kind of healings. Why would you leave it when the Spirit of God's flowing like that? But what Jesus did, he actually would step away from that. Why? Because he understood that power and that authority came from time with the Father. So Jesus stepped away from that, and he would go and spend time with the Father. He said many, many of nights. You know, just when he was walking out on the sea, he just came from spending time with the Father. And so the witnessing thing is, it's not, there's no certain way. Some tactics work a little better than others, I guess you would say. But none of them work without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because they cannot come to him unless the Holy Spirit draws them. So if you're speaking out of something that's not led by the Holy Spirit, then how is the Holy Spirit going to draw them in that moment? I've had more, I guess you would call it success in ministering and witnessing when the Holy Spirit says, go, than just saying, I'm just going to go up to everybody and witness. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But when the Holy Spirit says go, I know there's going to be fruit that comes almost immediately from that. Anyway, so Scotty, the guy that I was talking about, how all that story just there, that rabbit trail just happened. I'm getting good about bringing stuff back. Scotty, he's a guy that he's lost. I don't consider him a believer. He believes in Jesus, right? Now this is where it's kind of like, but his life is fruitless. His life shows no sign or effect of Jesus or living or having a relationship with him, okay? So we've had many conversations, and yeah, I remember one morning, or one day, actually, we were eating lunch at a Mexican restaurant, and Dominic said something, and I said, oh, yeah, and because I was telling him a story about something that happened on one of the trips to Guatemala, and then I looked at Scotty and I pointed to him and said, oh, yeah, and I had a dream about you. And then Dominic goes, oh, you got to tell him. You got him. I'm like, what? And he's like, man, you just don't know. You got to tell him. And then Scotty's just like kind of looking. And then I was like, what are you talking about? So later on, Dominic told me, like, man, he's ready. Like, he's there. He told me. He was asking me, like, man, you know, I think I'm ready. I think I'm, you know. And so that next morning, I went up to Scotty, and I shared the dream with him, and he started tearing up, and I was like, man, just give him your life. Just do it. Yeah. And he's like, I don't want to fail him, because I know I'm going to mess up. Like, that was his mentality. And so I just started encouraging him in the Lord. I just started saying things to him in the Lord, and literally this morning, as far as I know, now he might have done it in secret, but as far as I know, he hadn't quite, he's still on that area. You know, he's still on that place. So I pray for his protection. The enemy is fighting him. It's fighting his whole family. His wife just had to have a complete hysterectomy. She's 27. You know, she might be 29, but I mean, she's young. She had to have complete hysterectomy. You know, all that stuff, the Lord's completely providing for him. But he sent me a text this morning. And he said, I love you, bud. And he said, I hope that your preaching is powerful in Jesus' name. And you see stuff like that, and it's like, man, you know, when you're younger and you have the, what you said was so spot on from the Lord, that word of knowledge. And I mean, I know you know that it's the word knowledge from the Lord, so you already knew that. But I'm giving you confirmation again. But it's so true, because when you're younger, you're full of, I was full of ambition, so that's not a good thing. Like, selfish ambition is not good for the kingdom. The Bible talks about that. But I was full of this passion and this ambition, and I was wanting to do this thing and that thing and this. And if you would have looked at me when I was 18 years old, when I was giving out my ministry cards and writing up these resumes and all this stuff that I don't believe it's from the Lord, but whatever, we can talk about that another day. And you're doing all of these things, trying to get your name out there. If you would have looked at me at 18 and said, man, the ministry that you're going to have is you're going to be 35 years old, and you're going to have 3 to 4 guys come into your back porch, and then you're going to have 3 to 4 guys that work with you that are drug addicts or were drug addicts, and that's going to be your ministry, and you're going to see the Lord move mighty in it. I would have said, man, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to be preaching from a pulpit to thousands of people, and man, and it's not about that anymore. It's just not. It's not, because who knows, you know, Billy Graham was one man. He showed up to the service, and it was him and another person, and Billy Graham got saved at that place. And guys, it's not about, God is bigger than us. God is bigger than me. Dominic might go, and he might be the next Reinhard Bonnke with a blood-covered Africa. Like, we don't know these things. Like, my son and my daughter's like, they're going to go, and Pacey has a word that she's going to be a deliverer of women. Like that's my ministry. That's what I live for. But ultimately, I live to follow and find Jesus. And out of that place, ministry can happen. Amen. So, 10-minute introduction. All right, I got to say this first. I love you guys, and I will ruffle your feathers today. No, for a fact, like some of y'all are going to be mad at me. Oh, you're so good. It really will be because this is different, and the Lord literally just gave me this word when I was sitting there. And it's one that I really don't know because the times that we're in right now. So, and I am not a political guy at all. So, I mean, yeah, we're going to go for it. So just bear with me. Know my heart. I love you guys. I really do. But this is what I feel that the Lord's, that I'm supposed to speak. So I do, like, my heart's pounding right now. Like, it don't usually pound. Like, because I want you to hear the Lord on this. I don't want you to hear me or opinions or anything like that. I'm not going to try to give you an opinion. I'm not biased. I'm not going to give you a biased opinion or anything. I'm going to try to preach the word of God to you. The power of the Holy Spirit brings holiness. How can you have the Holy Spirit and not be holy? Now, I understand that at salvation, we're made righteous and we're made holy because of Jesus. I understand that because of the blood of Jesus. There's things that are going around today that we are free, so therefore we can do whatever we please. Because Paul even made a statement in the Word that he said, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is profitable. And people will take that scripture and use it out of context, and they'll get drunk or they'll sin or they'll do whatever they want and then say, well, everything's permissible for me. But that's not what Paul is talking about. Because Paul even made a statement in another one of the books, one of the epistles that he was speaking of, that he even made the statement. He said, since we're free, should we keep on sinning? He said, God forbid, lest Christ dying be in vain. Right? So we can't take one part of the scripture and not another part. You know, they go together. It's the word of God. So we have this, the power of the Holy Spirit. It compels us. We've used it for power. We've used him for authority. We've used him for giftings. We've used him for even lies and opinions to push our way or the other and say it's from the Holy Spirit. We've used him for things as that. Now, is he power? Yes. He says in Acts chapter 1, he says, you will be endued with power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. See, authority, yes, he's authority, he's peace, he's comfort, he's all of these things. He's sent from the Father. Jesus even told the disciples, it will be better that I go so that I may send. So you have to understand the Holy Spirit. You have to understand that when Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, it's better for you that I go so that I can send. The power of the Holy Spirit. What happened in Acts chapter 2, where the church was really born, you can see how Peter, powered with the Holy Spirit, he preaches this sermon, and then he goes and it says that thousands were added to the church daily and all of those things. And I begin to think about, I used to almost hate history. In school, I did hate history. I hated everything that wasn't PE or my girlfriend, which is now my wife, so that was okay. So it was football, it was sports, PE. We didn't have PE in high school. That school was no good. But I did. I hated learning. I hated sitting in classes. I hated it, and I really did. So I'm not a big history person. But now the Lord has took me and has completely turned me to have like a passion or desire to learn about history, to learn where we came from, who came before us, the things that they did that led up to where we are today. It's powerful. And if you really read it and understand how God was working and things like that, it's powerful. And so, like, just like the Word of God, you see where the church started and you see how it started. And so I'm going to kind of be talking about that a little bit. I'm really going to try to tie all this in together in a timely manner, but I cannot promise you nothing because part of it was yesterday and part of it was today, and I'm going to try to tie them together. But if we look at the way the American church is, for the most part, is from what we see, when you walk into a service, you see tradition. You see, this is from my perspective, some things that I see. You see tradition. You see a show. You see people trying to be relevant to a culture that is ungodly. Instead of changing the culture, try to be relevant to a culture. Jesus was never relevant to a culture. He was relevant to the kingdom of heaven. And he desired to make the kingdom of this world the kingdoms of our God. That's what we have to change the culture by being men and women of God. Okay? So you see these things, but what I don't see is the manifestation power of the Holy Spirit. The way that these things, this isn't every church, so don't think I'm like it's a blank statement. But what I very rarely see, let me say that, is the manifestation power of the Holy Spirit. The way that it was in Acts chapter 2. And even if you look at Azusa Street, because that is where the Assemblies of God formed out of. That is where different denominations were formed out of. Now, I'm a believer. I am a person that I don't think denominations are from God. I'll say that. Okay, I think they're traditions of men that have separated the church that is just not from God. I'm sorry, that's what I believe. All right? But if you look even at the Azusa Street and what happened there, William Seymour, and all of the things that happened and how that man did not give a word until he heard from God. I believe he was the one that put a box over his head and would not come out of the box until he heard from God. Okay. And the AG, different denominations, different things were formed out of that. So they were birthed out of the move of the Holy Spirit. The church was birthed out of the move of the Holy Spirit. So last night I was about to go to sleep in the hospitality room. I was tired. I went to sleep at like 9:30. I needed it. I was tired. I was sleepy. And I opened up the drawer beside the bed, and it was the history of the church. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I kind of paraphrased it after I read it. So I got to say this real quick. Holy Spirit, because I did leave this out. Holy Spirit, the power to overcome the darkness, sin, and produce fruits in keeping with repentance while destroying the works of the enemy, the ability to live holy. All right. So this church, this place that we're at now, I don't know the day. I didn't write the dates. I didn't write anything down. I just read it real quick, and then I was doing something, and then I wrote this down. Founded upon the power of God, encountering his presence to become a founded upon the power of God, encountering his presence to become a prophetic people and to be a mission-minded church. That sounds pretty close. I know I'm leaving out details. I understand that. But founded upon the power of God, the move of the Holy Spirit, to be a prophetic and discerning people and to be a mission-minded church to go beyond the four walls. Founded upon the power of God. And I know that a lot of things have happened since then, since that moment, since that date. Different people in and out, different pastors in and out, different elders in and out, different things in and out. I understand that. But there's something that the Lord is showing me about history of the church that's the same thread over and over. The Lord changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you look at the churches, and if you look at the moves of God, every single one of them were founded upon the power of God, the movement of prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit, not relevancy, not songs, not a certain man, but a certain, it was upon Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. That was what every powerful movement that has even transformed generations has been founded on, the power of the Holy Spirit. Every one of them. So a question that I pose to you today is, have we as a church, as individuals, got away from operating in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit? Have we got away from that? Do we operate? And I don't mean coming to church and saying, man, we had a wonderful service when the power of God showed up. I mean in your everyday walk. If Jesus did anything, it was set an example that he lived powerfully every single day of his life. Every day. Every single day. It's not having a ministry mindset. It's having a Jesus mindset. And out of that mindset, ministry just happens. Ministry just happens. It does. Ministering for Jesus. Out of the mindset of having a mindset upon Jesus, ministry just, you can't help but to happen. Jesus was walking, and he didn't say, hey, guys, a month down the road, let's plan on feeding 5,000. Jesus was walking. He saw a need. He said, what do we have? We have a few fish and a couple of loaves. And this. And he says, Father, I thank you. Now go feed them. What's the difference? Honestly, what's the difference between us and, please understand, us? I know I'm not saying we're mini Jesuses, so I'm not saying we're mini gods, and so I'm not that person. But I'm saying, what's the difference in the power and the authority that Jesus walked in and then what we have the authority and power to walk in? All right, there's none, because he said this. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, now go. That's as a delegated authority, that's delegated power. And he said, it's good that I go so that I can send. If he was leaving, then what he was sending was, y'all understand where I'm coming from. It's good that I go so that I can send. So when we're walking, because we've been with the Father, we've been with Jesus. We have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells inside of us. And where we're walking and we see a need and we see something and you said, I don't have the ability or the finances or the funds to meet that. Jesus didn't even have a lunch. He took a lunch. He didn't take it. He was giving it. I'd give my lunch to Jesus. I'm like, here, bro, you can have it. Just see what he'd do with it. All right? And then he took it and he multiplied it. Father, I know that you've already heard me. There's powerful words in that. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, he didn't say, oh, God, please do this. He said, Father, I know that you hear me, but do it so they may see. Like, these aren't just Bible stories. Power, that authority that we have, it's not to build our ego, it's not to do those things, but my goodness, it's to destroy the works of the enemy. If you look at Ephesians chapter 6, the whole armor of God, people talk about that, because I believe that Satan is a defeated foe. I believe, according to the word of God, that he doesn't even have weapons. That's it. The accuser of the brethren. And the only time he has power and authority in our life is when we give it to him. Condemnation's not from God, it's from the enemy. How many times has condemnation held you back from doing what God desires for you to do? But he has power. So when you see people say, well, if that's the case in the spiritual warfare that we're in Ephesians chapter 6, we have to do this to keep away from the fiery darts of the enemy. But you have to understand, he didn't tell us to put on our armor. He said to put on the full armor of God. We're not putting on a Roman soldier's arm. That is the worst, most pitiful excuse for interpretation of that scripture is the Roman soldier's attire. Because that is not what God is talking about. It is not what Jesus and the Holy Spirit was penned about. I've even preached it from that point of view. That is not what he's talking about. He said, put on the full armor of God. God is truth. There is no lie in him. God is righteous. God is salvation. God is the good news. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? God is the shield of faith. The word of God is Jesus. Like, do we understand? Put on the whole armor of God. And the enemy cannot do anything against us. Why? Because he is a defeated foe who defeated him. So we don't put on our armor. We put on the armor of God. So therefore, we stand victorious. So here comes the hard part. Y'all thought that was it. No, that was good. All right, this is the hard part. The church, if we look at it from social media standpoint, from different standpoints, right now because of the election, because of what's happening, okay, is very divided. I don't care what anybody says. Because of two men running for office, very divided. Very divided. I have seen more hate, more lies, because you say you're for this party or that party. People are turning their backs on you, calling you this and that. Now, granted, I understand. I do understand what's at stake with that. I understand how it has never been so far right. And so I get that. I get it. I do. I understand that. I really do. But this is what the Lord is saying to me, so I need us to listen. The church is divided in that sense. Now, the true church is never divided. I'm speaking of physical, fleshly things that are happening, having an earthly mindset instead of a kingdom mindset. We have been divided because I thought you were Christian. If you're Christian, you can't vote for this person. Well, they'll look at you and say, but if you're a Christian, you can't vote for this person. These are some things that I heard. If you're a Christian, you can't vote. They murder babies. If you're a Christian, you can't vote for him. He's racist. These are things that I've heard. So is one sin less than the other sin? Is killing babies worse than blood? This is what I've heard. I'm telling you, this is from instances that I've heard, from things that I've seen, from all of those things. You're not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit if you vote for him. You're not saved. When you woke up the next morning and you saw that Biden was declared president through the media and stuff like that, immediately people started putting, well, And if you put this, I'm not picking at you. I don't know. Biden might be president, but Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus was on the throne before that ever happened, before they were born, okay? But please, stop. He's still on the throne. He'll always be on the throne, all right? Get out of this worldly mindset and have a kingdom. I'm not saying don't vote for who you feel God tells you to vote for. I'm not saying don't vote for the party that seems like the most God. I understand what I'm saying here, but what we have done is we have seen, and this thing has literally started tearing the church apart from the inside out. People have lost members because a pastor said, I'm going to vote for this person, or they found out that he casted his vote. They're leaving the church. They're forsaking community. Do you know why the Bible talks about prophecy? Do you know why when Paul sits there and he's speaking to the Corinthians, he said it's better to prophesy so that an unbeliever may come in and everything be put out before them and they'll fall on their face before God. How can you do that when we're at each other because of a party or something that you voted for or didn't vote for, didn't vote at all. Look, I am blessed, and I praise God that I live in America and that we have a free church, and I understand that they have come against some freedoms that we have and all of those things, but I want to tell you this right here. I want to tell you this right here. We have quoted and quoted because of this election. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I'll hear their land. We have to have this man in the White House. We have to have this man in the... Jesus didn't say, I'm going to seek the White House. He said, I'm going to hear from heaven and heal your land. The churches that are growing the most right now are the most persecuted. They're growing by the millions in Iraq, in places of that such that are Muslims coming to Jesus because they're being visited by Jesus. Because men of God are walking in power and authority, that they're bringing the presence of God with them, that they're coming to Jesus by the millions daily. China's underground church is growing. Vote where you feel God tells you to vote. Whatever. But do not put the power and authority on someone that sits in the White House, because you're making it a God above a God. If we prayed for souls the way that we have prayed that Trump would get in the White House, if my people who are called by my name will what? Pray. People, I said the church now, I have seen this. It fires me up, it does. I've seen this post. The church, we have to pray now more than ever. Look, guys, I do. I understand. I really do. I'm not ignorant to it. I'm not. I understand what's at stake. But ultimately, what's at stake? That's one. You have to hear my heart. You have to hear my heart on this. I sat down and the Lord took me to Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Let's go to, I'm going to back up just a little bit. Please don't cut me off right now on your ears. Listen from the Lord. 1:4, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave to Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? Is it this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And I feel like we're basing this election, this the process that it's in right now, that's going to be the restoration of the church, or the next movement, the next Jesus movement. I really do, because people said, man, if we don't get this, brothers, and Jesus, he looks at them. He looks at the ones that started the church of God, the ones that started the church that he handpicked after spending all night with God the Father, that he went out to him and he said, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. This is what he says to them. The ones that built the stones of which the church has been built upon, that Jesus being the chief cornerstone, that Jesus being the head. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when that the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. It's not for you to know the times, anything that the Father has fixed. but you will receive power. What he's doing, he's saying, get out of that earthly mindset and understand it. It goes beyond a nation. It goes beyond the rights and the freedoms of a nation. And it bleeds into people that have never heard of the name of Jesus. Do you pray for Biden? Do you pray for Harris? Do you pray for Trump? Do you pray for Pence? I never pray for them. If you can't love your brother whom you have seen, how can I know that's talking about Christians? I don't know if they're Christians. I don't know if Trump's Christian. I don't know the man. I don't know anybody's Christian unless I have a relationship with them beyond what they say. Biden stood up there and said, he quoted scripture. Well, Satan knows scripture too. I'm not calling Biden Satan, so don't be laughing about it. I wasn't saying that. Guys, I'm trying to get us to understand that we have to get out of this earthly mindset into a kingdom mindset. Man, you got to pray for people. You got to pray for the lost. Man, how great would it be that if Biden got president, that he had a radical encounter with Jesus Christ, and then he turned all the way around, and he said, I'm going to try to pull back everything that I've done for the enemy, and I'm going to give glory to God. Why can't we pray for that? If my people who have called by my name will humble themselves, and that means it don't matter who's there, because if his people will pray and seek his face, then he'll heal his land. It don't matter who's there, here, there, because God said, I have the ultimate authority. It's not about you to worry about the times or these things that are happening, but you'll receive power. We have to get back to the power and the basics of the Holy Spirit and walk in holiness and walk in godliness and walk in righteousness to where our kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. Pharisees and the Sadducees looked at him. He said, where's the kingdom of God? He said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. And he was speaking of himself. And that's what he was trying to tell the disciples, when you restore the kingdom of heaven. And he's trying to get them to understand the kingdom, or restore the kingdom to Israel. He said, understand the kingdom is in your midst. It's there. It's right here. It's here. It's here. It's here. It's here. It's right here. If we had a heart, we have to have a heart. We have to have a heart more for the kingdom of God and his desire more than we have to for this nation. And when I say that, this nation is on the heart of God. Okay? China's on the heart of God. Guatemala is on the heart of God. Honduras is on the heart of God. Africa is on the heart of God. He wishes that all would come and none would perish. That's what the Bible says. So listen. This literally, I was sitting right here. I was not going to preach anything about this. And I was sitting right here. And I said, I'm going to go to Acts. I said, I'm just going to read on the church real quick. And he said, he said, kingdom. He said, say this. I was like, oh, okay. We have to see. If Trump gets in, there's still going to be lost people. Yeah. Not miraculously, all of a sudden, everybody's going to get saved. If Biden gets in, still going to be lost people. And guys, regardless of who gets in, according to the word of God, the church is going to be persecuted. According to the word of God. I'll say I didn't vote because I thought I was registered and I wasn't. Because when we moved from here to there, I like went to vote and they're like, you're not registered. And I was like, oh, so my bad on that. So some of y'all are like already, like, he ain't never coming back here. Oh, Jesus. My wife voted. But I honestly, I do. Like, guys, as I was reading the history of the church, man, the Lord just began to speak to everybody. Who determines if you're a child of God? I'm asking. The Lord does. Who writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Okay. We don't, right? And if you're saved, if you've given your life to the Lord, what has he given you? Okay, let's be more specific. Christ in me, Holy Spirit, thank you. I was getting, I know it's a lie. Yeah, she was like finna quote the whole Bible. All right. Like, you keep going, which preach? The Holy Spirit. Come on, I mean, I was preaching on that. You should have thrown that right out. No, I'm just joking. All right. Yes, it is, for sure. So this, the Holy Spirit you have, the same Holy Spirit I have. Completely. Okay. Right? It doesn't matter if, all right, and I'm just throwing something. It doesn't matter if you did heroin last night and you messed up and all this and you get saved this morning. You've never done a thing for Jesus. You've never witnessed. You've never opened your mouth. The Spirit that you receive in that moment doesn't matter if I've been living for him for 100 years and I've reached billions of people. It's the same Holy Spirit. So if they're Baptists, do they receive the Holy Spirit upon salvation? Yes. If they're Pentecostal? Yeah. If they're non-denominational, which is now a denomination. What denomination? I'm non-denominational. Okay, that's a denomination. Anyway, that's funny. All right. Like, if they receive Christ, it's the same Holy Spirit. So if you've received Christ, if you've given him your life, you have the same Holy Spirit as I have, correct? The same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. Right? She even said, if one of our brothers or sisters are hurting, comfort them. Okay? All right, here we go. Because, man, I've heard it so much. Like, this is, if someone voted for Trump or voted for Biden, do they lose their salvation? Okay. All right, yeah. All right. And this has not been talked about, and it needs to be talked about, in my opinion, because the church is destroying each other. It really is. So you don't lose your salvation. So do you still have the same Holy Spirit as the other person? Could one be wrong and one be right? Yes. Yes. In doctrine? In revelation? In study of scripture, in questions of eldership, could one be wrong and one be right? Yes, most definitely. Why? Because one could be speaking out of the flesh, one could be speaking out of the spirit. They could both be speaking out of the flesh. But if they're speaking from the same spirit, they're going to come together. Because why would the spirit that you received upon salvation, if it's the same spirit that I received upon salvation, why would it differ? To cause conflict in the body of Christ? There is no conflict in the body of Christ. That's right. Most definitely. See, a lot of people use that if someone goes, oh, that's out of order, brother. Like, nah, it's the same spirit. You just let your flesh judge that. God's a God of order. Most definitely. So what am I saying to the church this morning? What am I saying to myself? Because I'm going to be honest with you, because I've been aggravated at the fussing and the yelling. So I'm just as guilty as the other parties that have fussed and yelled at each other. Because I let the frustration and aggravation get to me. Instead of saying, Lord, I break the bond right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit. Like, that's what we should be doing. So if it's the same spirit that dwells in each believer, that is a true believer, what holds us back from agreement, from coming together and living in unity? I'm asking. Huh? Someone said it. Flesh. That's it. Galatians. What does it say? The flesh sets itself up against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are the workings of the flesh. Read them. These are the workings of the spirit. All right, so this is all right. These are the workings of the flesh. Like if you read that, anger's in there. Malice, jealousy, bitterness, wrath. How dare you vote for that person? That's not, the Holy Spirit ain't up in that. I'm being honest. I mean, this goes all the way around, guys. This goes, the simple reason that the Lord told me to speak about this is I was gonna speak on something way different. And the reason the Lord told me is because we have such an earthly mindset that it's hard for the kingdom of God to do what he desires to do because our mindset is so earthly. It's so earthly. In every aspect of our lives, in the business aspect and everything, it's so, in marriage aspect and everything, raising our kids, it can be so earthly. We have to be kingdom mindset about everything. Earthly mindset. Here's an example right here. We move back to Mississippi and the Lord's like, put them in a public school. I'm not going to put them in a public school, Lord. I'm going to put them in a Christian school, or I'm going to homeschool them. That's like me telling God what I'm going to do. After I said, Lord, do whatever you want to in me, right? And this is what he said. I was sharing this with Briley this morning. I said, Lord, I can't do that, man. Because, man, it's rough. Because they're teaching ideas and ideologies right now that are false, wrong. There are Christian teachers that I want to be like, lose your job. Because you can't teach this stuff, honestly. And some of them are. Some of them are, and God's blessing them, right? But there's these things that they're teaching and the things that the kids are interacting with. And I'm just, man, like, I don't know. I got two pretty daughters. Like, you know, I hit a brother. No, I hit somebody. No, I wouldn't. Y'all supposed to laugh. Like, y'all got to loosen up a little bit. All right. I do. All right. But I have two pretty daughters, and my son is, y'all have met my son. Y'all have met all of them. I don't know why I'm saying like that. And I was praying to God. I said, God, and I might have shared this before. I said, God, I don't want to put them in a public school. I don't. I don't. Because of the things that they teach. And people were like, well, they're one day going to go to college. And I'm like, yeah, I understand that. That's a lot more years with me in a Christian school, whatever. You know, you when they're young, it's very important and very vital. Now, I understand that, man, we pour God into them. Like, we pour Jesus into them. They watch us walk with the Lord and stuff like that. I get that. And the Lord, clear as day, he said, do you not think that I'm not powerful enough to keep them? I said, yeah. Yeah. And he said, my light shines brightest in the darkness. So what I did, I felt that even saying it. So what I did is I turned it. And I said, Lord, let them be light in the darkness. Lord, let them touch someone and let the healing power of God come over where they can't even have school. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that when they walk down them hallways, that Si will lay his hands on somebody and they'll fall out under the power. And the teachers will come out there and he'll lay hands on them. They'll fall out. And they'll have to call me and say, something is going on with your son. And I go up in there and start laying hands on people. And I mean, that's what I start praying now. Because God's not only keeping them. Si has lost friends. He has lost friends at 11, 10, and 11 years old because he looks at them and he says, are you a Christian? And they said, yes. And he says, well, you're not supposed to speak that way. He's like, and he loves you and he wants to, I mean, he'll witness to them right then and there. And now his friends that were his friends that are no longer his friends because they don't want to be around him because of that, they come back to him and they say, we straightened our speech up. You want to be friends again? And like, guys, it's happening. Like, people are calling my daughter that oh, you're better than everybody else. And she don't even talk, like, she don't even say nothing. She just lives a life. And I said, that's amazing. Like, let them say that. I said, because I promise you, when they need prayer, they're going to come to you. that when they need healing, they're going to come to you. I've been there in the steel mill. When they needed prayer, they would make fun of me. They would joke at me. But when they needed prayer, they would come back and they would cry where no one else could see them. They said, man, you got to pray for me. You got to pray for my wife. You got to pray for my family. They got cancer. They're dying. And at the middle of work, I would say, in the name of Jesus. The Lord said, you don't think I can keep them? You don't think I'm powerful enough? But how many times do we have that earthly mindset? I pray to God that we have a kingdom mindset. Pray about every decision you make, even if it affects the earthly decisions. Yes, most definitely. Pray about, I know you've already casted your vote. Pray about it, all that good stuff. Yes, I think that's godly. I think you should do that. I think you should vote. I'm not against it. But what I'm saying is ultimately, it's about the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. That's ultimately what it's about. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's it. That's what we have to do. Because ultimately, I want to see the power of God save a nation. To save a people, to save the world. I want my kids to walk in such authority and power to where their shadows fall on the sick and watch them recover. Their shadows, Peter did it. Why not? Why not us? Why not? Why not? If we go back, I'm about to close. If we go back to when we got saved, first really gave our life in. Let's say this. Is anybody in here? I'll say it the other way. If you've had a strong encounter with God, the presence and the power, let's like the manifest. I understand the presence of God is everywhere, and we welcome him, and we say, Lord, we're aware of your presence. But then there's that time where it's just like, it's almost like he just steps in, and it's just different. Like, I get the presence of God is everywhere, always is. And then there's that time, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like he just goes, I'm here, but now I'm here. You know, and it's just like, woo! If you can go back to that moment, if you've ever experienced that manifest presence of God in your life, I want you to just raise your hand. If you've ever experienced that. All right. Some haven't. That's great. That's awesome. You need to pray for it. At that moment, in that time when you got saved, when you gave your life to the Lord and you experienced that power and that presence, your whole mindset, your whole everything turned to the kingdom of God. If it didn't, it wasn't an encounter with God. I'll say that because that's what happens. You get hit by 18-wheeler, you can't come back looking the same. Paul Washer was preaching a sermon about that. He said he comes in late, or he was telling a story about a guy came in late, all dressed up, nice and everything. And they said, why were you late? And he said, I got hit by 18-wheeler. And they said, well, that's impossible. I said, well, how is that impossible? It's my story. I'm telling you what happened. Well, if you got hit by 18-wheeler, you'd look different. You wouldn't be dressed up. You wouldn't be. And he said, how can you say you're the same after you've encountered God? Right? So at that moment, at that encounter, at that time that you had, our whole mindset went to the kingdom. Lord, I give my life to you. I want to live for you. Lord, I'll do this. I'll read. I'll pray. You know, and a lot of times it starts off like things to do for Jesus. You know, that's how, I mean, that is. It's how it started off for me. Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. But at that moment, it's like everything that was happening in the world or around you disappeared. Even moments now that you have with him, it's like everything just disappears, and it's the kingdom of God. It's his presence, his love, his power, his authority. People used to say, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. And I believe it's Todd White who flipped that around. And he said, don't be, how did he say it? He said, you have to be so heavenly minded so you can be earthly good. The Spirit of God. Power, the authority, the love, everything that comes from Him. We have to learn how to walk in the Spirit so we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the only way we'll reach a world. The only way. Even if people don't agree with us, if we are being led by the Spirit of God, who cares if they agree? I believe it was John Wesley that said that he was ran out of a church. He went to another church. They kicked him out, and he couldn't preach there. Then he went and he preached on the street, and they ran him out of the street. He went and preached in the pasture, and the bull ran him out. They loosed a bull on him, ran him out of the pasture. The next night, he went and he preached in a field somewhere, and 10,000 showed up. I believe it was John Wesley, if I'm not mistaken. People didn't like his whatever, but the Spirit of God was there. What if you went to a conference and the main speaker came out and put a box over his head? You know, people would be like, I'm not paying that guy for that. I mean, that's what would happen. The main speaker, if I, and I doubt I ever will be, if I'm ever a main speaker at a big conference and I come out and they say, here, it's your time to speak, brother. And I come out and I sit down and I put a box on my head and just sit in complete silence. They said sometimes he did it up to 2 to 3 hours. But because he had to hear from God. Read on the Azusa Street. It's amazing. It's amazing. 2 to 3, I sat. Pull the box off. I have a word from the Lord. He would not preach until he had a word from the Lord. And people radically saved and transformed and delivered. If we have to be a people that we don't speak or say until we're speaking or saying from the Holy Spirit, then I would say we need to start putting boxes over our heads. Whatever that box over your head looks like. Because as men and women of God, we have to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And that's hard to do. Especially when you're around guys all day long who don't know a whole lot of stuff. And you're like, man, I'm losing money right now. And the Lord's like, no, this is a ministry. This ain't about making money. It's like, yeah, but it's taking them forever. And he's like, nah. This is about ministry. This is about me. It's not about you. It's hard. It's hard. But texts like this morning, when he says, man, I love you, I just want to let you know that. Lets me know that God's doing what God has sent us there to do, he's doing. We have to walk in the Spirit. Have to keep a kingdom mindset. But I would say this in closing. What started with the power of God needs to run in the power of God, and it needs to end in the power of God. And if it's anything less, it ain't from God. One time, show me where Jesus didn't walk in power and authority of God. One time. Amen? Everybody still love me? All right. God loves me, so that's what I say. Like, even if you don't, I don't care. All right. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I love you. Father, I thank you for this word this morning. I just pray that you would just let it seep down into our hearts. Father, if there is anything that I said that is not from you, let it fall even now. Just let it fall upon deaf ears. Let them never remember it again. Father, I pray right now that your power, your authority, your will, your glory would be seen in this place, in these people, every single day of their lives. Lord, let us have a kingdom mindset, not an earthly mindset. Father, to be in this world, but not to be of it. Father, I pray that you would just begin to put people in our paths and in our way that we can witness to, that we can help. That, Father, where there's a need, let us see it. Let us feel it. Lord, let us touch it in the name of Jesus by your power, by your authority. Let us love. Let us love. Because it's not just your characteristic, but it's who you are. And if you're in us, then love will flow out of us. God, I pray right now that you would just have your way in us, Lord. Let us encounter you in a special way, in ways that we never have before. Lord, take us from glory to glory to glory. Lord, if there's anybody in this place that has never encountered you in a manifest way, in your power, in your manifestations, the way that only you can do it, God, I pray that you will just even now do it. Lord, I pray that your presence and your power and your spirit will just rest and guide us and lead us. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just help each and every one of us to live a life that glorifies you. There's nobody like you. And Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may pray for the food. Father, and I thank you for the food. Bless it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hey, one quick thing. About communion. It's something Dominic was asking me. He's like, what's communion and all this stuff? Because there's a Catholic woman that she's been asking all kind of questions about Jesus and stuff like that. And he's like, you know, they're like, do you take communion? And she was saying stuff like that. And he's like, bro, what is communion? He's like, I don't even know what to tell her. He's like, you know what I tell her? That we drink a grape juice and eat a wafer. And because he's so raw, he's so real, I love it. And I was like, no, man. He said, well, what is communion? I said, well, the Bible says that you know they were at the Last Supper and they were communing together. And he said that when you do this in remembrance of me. And I said, now I understand that they had wine and bread and they broke it. And he said, you know, partake of this cup, it's my body. I mean, it's my blood. Partake of the bread, it's my body. I said, but you have to understand that now Christ abiding in us, right? And then anytime that we're with believers, even if we're not eating bread and drinking wine or drinking grape juice or whatever it may be, I said, I want you to understand that when you're believers, you're communing together. So I want you to see this drinking pizza and soda, even though not really good for the body. I want you to see that as you're communing together with each other in the presence of the Almighty God. And every time that you sit down with your mom or your dad or your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife or your friend or whoever it may be, I want you to sit down and say, we do this in remembrance of you, God. Not just at a special time or a special moment, but every single day we have to eat of Jesus. Every single day we have to drink of him. So as you're drinking that Sprite, say, Lord, I thank you for your blood. I thank you for who you are and what you've done. Now, don't be like, you know, that's unholy because it's not bread and wine. I'm giving you a figure thing here. So we bless you with that. Commune with each other. Have holy conversation. Don't be talking about me. If you got something to say, come to me. All right, I love you guys. Thank y'all. Be blessed. Go eat.